This video is brought to you by a product I use weekly, Harry's.
Oh, Harry's like, is she a smoker?
No, oh, I have a medical condition.
She's not.
All right, and on that note, let's watch Child's Play 2. Okay, Child's Play 2, initial reaction, initial thoughts, before we compare it. Just how'd you feel about this one?
I felt good. Also, if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, make sure you give us a rating. Tell us how cool we are.
Not just a rating.
Not give us a 5-star, only, baby. Come on. Comment, share baby. That. Build up this video. Build us up. You know, we love it.
That's true.
I mean, they definitely upped the ante with the special effects in regards to the animatronic with Chucky. I mean, he was in this way, way more. And the way that they could animate his face with his little, like, nose
crinkle,
thing,
yeah.
It was so realistic and gnarly. I do also agree that because they took their time more in this one, for some reason it felt maybe a little bit faster in the first one. Maybe it's because in this one we saw Chucky more and the pacing of it gave us a little bit more room for it to be scarier, for a little more jump scares versus the first one felt, this one still felt like a ton, like more fun. It wasn't like I'm actually terrified. But there were some jump scares in this, which I really appreciated. But most of all, my most favorite thing is just the special, like, practical effects in this, which I thought were great, especially that ending shot and the, I loved when we got to that last set. That last set was my favorite. The ending shot where he explodes, gnarly. All of the ending with the practical effects is like 10 out of 10. I loved it. And obviously the kid, we didn't get to see as much from him in this one. It was more about Kyle, but I loved those two actors. Like Kyle, I believed 100%. I loved her
character.
You felt
like this was more about Kyle than it was about Andy?
Exactly.
You thought that?
I didn't feel that way. I didn't think it was more about Kyle, but we saw less of the kid and his acting and like talking than we did in the first one.
There was more characters in this one by a little bit because the first one had the mom and the best friend and the cop, but this one had like the characters at the beginning, the mom and the dad. Kyle was like a way bigger role.
Yeah.
I guess actually kind of equal.
Maybe equal.
But Kyle was a really big part of this for sure.
Yeah.
But it was Andy's story. It just felt so bad for him, dude.
Yeah.
This was really good. This was a really good follow-up. It was cool to bring in that dynamic, like that sibling dynamic of the foster siblings, and like really enjoyed that. And I, like you, once we got to that next set, that last set,
yeah,
things were gangbusters. I was just so invested because it was like, how are we going to play here? How are we going to utilize this? The sounds were gross. The imagery was gross. God. It was really cool and like made a lot of sense. Oh, this is how this is moving. This is how this is grooving. I'm just enjoying this. Then it ended pretty fast after that. And I do have so many questions about like, okay, so the mom's in the institution, but what about the two cops who knew everything that was going on?
Yeah,
where
exactly.
Where are they? And maybe did I miss it because I was trying to find the guy's name?
I don't think so, because I heard her freaking out and I was like, I'm going to have to listen for Roxy and myself. And the only thing I think that they said was she's in an institution and we basically still have the doll. That was it.
I'm going to have to listen for Roxy and myself. It's an iconic, and that was absolutely accurate. I could not. Yeah, and like Andy, wow, the guy is such a great little actor. He's like
so
getting
good.
Colder and colder as it goes. Like
in
the first movie, he's so invested in everything. And then by the end of this one, he's just like, I don't trust any of you adults because none of you have my back. And I am just going to warn you, Kyle, because you were kind of nice to me. Just don't, like, watch your back around the doll. Peace. Your guys' problem now. Like,
right.
He's just so nuanced and good. That little performer is amazing.
I agree. And I think that's why maybe I felt like he was in this less, because we didn't get as much talking from him, even though he is a child actor who can convey so much without words, which is excellent. And we got more of like the dialogue from everyone else versus in the first one, like anytime he says or does a look, I believe him 100%. The one thing that did bug me is I was like, when you were like, I don't know why I'm not convinced about him just lying down when he does the spell. Because it looked like Chucky, although Chucky did have a knife to his throat the whole time, carrying him around, being like, jump in this truck.
And he had made him like run and run.
Maybe he's just like over it.
Part of that was, part of me thinks that was him just being like, just take me.
Just do it. Because I'm like, done.
My mom's in an institution. Yeah. My dad is dead. They're going to think I killed my foster parents anyway, and the person placing and my teacher.
Yeah, I mean, forget about it. You're like, take me.
When she's like, he's like, where are we going? She's like, home. And he's like, where's that? And she's like, I don't know. Well, like, that is such a great ending, though, because even though I wasn't ready for it, because I just wanted it to be longer because I was enjoying myself, it's like perfect setup for Child's Play 3 while also being the closing out of this chapter. You know, it's like if they didn't get a Child's Play 3, it's satisfying that the two of them make it out. But if they did, they know that they set it up for like where Andy and Kyle are going to go next.
Yeah.
But like the adventures of, which I kind of liked.
I really like it too, especially because they set this up that the mom is still alive.
Yes.
So like we know that at any point in this that we may meet up with mom again, which is super cool. And I liked your like, oh, what if she adopts her? I'm like, that is a great plot point. Like hopefully they do add that in where they do have to find mom. Mom is going to be the only one that trusts them in what they're saying besides the other two cops, which we don't know where they went.
And
maybe
she seemed
they're dead.
Into the other cop, right? Mom and the other cop seemed like they were going to get it on.
Exactly.
I'm curious if this had a bigger budget than the other movie did. And also, the other
movie had to do it with the animatronic was great.
For sure. And that set, that final set must
is
have
like,
cost
that's insane.
So much money, right?
I agree. And it said at the end there, it said recorded at Burbank Studios. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I'd be curious if, I guess maybe all of it, except for obviously the home stuff, but they must have built that whole entire set just for them in those Chucky dolls, obviously, which is great because I don't think that even a warehouse that's building toys would be that colorful. And it was along the color slate of this film. And I like how intentional they are also in the coloring with this movie. Like when he goes into the house, it's like blue and pink. He's still dressing in a lot of stripes. He's got his blue Converse on. There's a lot of like blue stuff, but he still has there's accents of the good guy coloring kind of wherever they go, which I do appreciate. I like them throwing those little hints in there. Okay, let's do it.
I like the colors as well.
Lay it down.
Everything you just said. Okay, this is coming from IMDb trivia.
Oh, boy.
There were many rumors about why Catherine Hicks didn't reprise her role as Karen Barclay in the sequel, with the popular being that she was pregnant by her husband, Kevin Yeager, who operated the animatronic Chucky doll. But the simple fact was the director, John Lafia, wanted to take the story in a new direction, a direction that didn't include her character aside from an unfilmed opening courtroom scene that had her be sent to a mental institution. Despite not reprising her role, she was constantly on set for the sequel to visit her husband.
Oh, my God.
How weird would that be?
That would be weird. Oh, my God. Because you're like, the director chose not to have me, and she's such a phenomenal actress.
And then, like, Andy's probably looking. He's like, that's my...
He's like, that's why... Yeah. That means she probably... I guarantee you that they... And I don't want any spoilers, but they have to use her in maybe 3, maybe 4, who knows, down the line, because she's phenomenal. But yeah, okay, I agree, like maybe not bringing them all back, and that way you have room to bring in Kyle, which she's a great character. I really like her. She was really believable. The dad, I was like, yeah, you're weird. And then once he died, I wasn't like...
What was the deal with him, dude?
I don't know. In the beginning, like he did come off as like creeper, where I was like, if I was the director, maybe you're right. You're like, maybe he was supposed to come off that way to lead us
like
in a
red herring.
Yeah, exactly. Like to lead us in a different direction. But he didn't seem believable to me in some parts of that in the beginning. I just thought it was like kind of creepy and weird.
Can I tell you something super bizarre?
Duh.
What do you think the first Child's Play has on Rotten Tomatoes, tomato meter and audience score?
Okay, tomato meter, I'm going to assume that they were like 75%, and then I'm going to assume the audience was like 89%.
The audience score is 57 on
really?
The first one and 63 on the tomato meter, which feels so low to me. Like
that
you
feels
think-
low. That was a fun little movie.
Thrilled to be partnering with a brand I've been using for nearly 2 years now, and that's Harry's Razors. I'm generally more drawn to anything that goes against the norm, and Harry's does just that in the grooming world. They saw the high prices in the industry and decided to blaze their own trail with quality and affordability. I keep a beard, but whenever you see these cheeks and the neck clean, then that's the work of Harry's right there. Keeps my wife happy, and Harry's makes it effortless. They're precision blades that cut smoothly with less drag, making every shave satisfying. And yes, it's versatile for... other areas too, you know what I mean? So as a Harry's devotee, I can vouch for their value. You can experience unparalleled comfort and quality in your grooming routine where exceptional craftsmanship meets affordability, making a smart choice for a top-notch shave without breaking the bank. Their kits and value packs for shaving are unbeatable, but Harry's is not just about shaving. Again, they offer top quality, thoughtfully designed grooming products, including shampoo, conditioner, and amazing body wash without the premium price. Quality, affordability, that's a thesis of this. Now these I actually pulled right from my own bathroom. I regularly use their 5-blade razor with a nice weighted handle and their foaming shave gel. Man, this devil, it is a game changer. I just like the feel of it. Now I have to commit to keeping this in my hand the whole time because I'm not going to go to the bathroom in the middle of shooting this. The handles, they feel perfectly balanced, and the razor's sleek design is a classy addition to my bathroom. And the quality of the shave, unparalleled. Gotta reiterate, key part of my weekly grooming ritual because their entire range of products fits seamlessly into my routine. Definitely no reshoots here. Their German engineer blades are durable, and refill plans are economical. Rarely use the word economical, but I'm using it now. Plus, their commitment to high customer satisfaction and no-risk trial makes Harry's a no-brainer. This gel really does feel good. Let me say once more, choosing Harry's means quality and affordability. By grabbing your $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/rejects, you're not only getting a great deal, but you're also supporting this channel. That's harrys.com/rejects for your $3 trial set. Stay sharp and embrace the extraordinary with Harry's. Till next time, Reject Nation. Till next time.
You would think when it first came out that that would have been like a smash hit, and just hearing that is kind of surprising.
That's weird.
This
what
one,
about this one?
What do you think it had on the tomato meter?
Okay. Let me think it all through. God, that's weird to me. Okay, I'm going to assume Rotten Tomatoes is going to be a 70% and audience score is going to be 80%.
The tomato meter's 40%.
Oh my God, it's lower.
And audience score is 52.
I did go a little lower for this one because I...
40%? Oh, critics thought that this was a rotten?
Wow. I mean, that's... I think that... Listen, while you're watching, it's not like, wow, this movie has like the best dialogue and the best writing.
That
and
feels
the best,
wrong.
It just feels like... Come on, we know what this genre is. We saw the first movie. It's fun, and it's fun to watch. We know where we're headed now. The animatronics are awesome. The practical effects are great. That's what you go to this movie specifically. That's what you go there for. So whoever is like rating it 40%, I'm like, you're not in the right theater. You should have gone
no
to see
sense.
A different movie because we knew what we were getting into when watching this.
This is why sometimes I can't stand critics because like, how are you going to give, like really that many of you guys thought it was rotten?
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
That's so crazy because I just thought this was really good and it opened up number one at the box office. But even the fans, the audience score being so low, that's
yeah,
pretty
what was it? It was 50?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like what?
I mean.
What did we miss?
I don't know.
52.
I mean,
52.
And the first one was higher?
The first one was 57.
Oh, God. They're both the same, huh? Interesting.
Do people not love these movies like we do?
I don't know. I just think. Here's what I think. If you're going into it and you expect this to be a 10 out of 10, great movie, great dialogue, amazing plot, and like phenomenal acting. The little boy and Kyle, I believed him. The rest of them, I'm like, yeah, you know, give or take. It's a little like juiced up. But we know what genre this is. We know where we're getting into. And it's a lot. It's still so much fun to watch. Like it's a ride. It's a journey. And if you're like, this movie is poop, then I'm like, why did you even come to the theater? We knew what we were getting into.
I'm so with you. There's some goofs that are listed that are kind of funny. This says there's a continuity goof where at the end of the first movie when Chucky's burnt, his left eye is there and his right eye is melted shut. But at the beginning of this movie, when they're cleaning him, his left eye is gone and his right eye is open. That's kind of funny.
Love audience members.
This also
the continuity.
Yeah, totally. This also says something that I was thinking for a second. Andy would have easily been able to spit out the sock stuffed in his mouth. There was no tape holding it in. When Kyle enters, she just pulls it
right out. I agree with that.
And I saw that. I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
That was a little.
Yeah, a little lacking on that.
Yeah, but like, fine.
Yeah.
Fine. Miss Kettlewell saw Andy turn in his paper as she was collecting them from her students. She should have known it wasn't Andy who wrote those profanities on her paper.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, that's true.
So she deserved to die.
Yeah, she sure did.
This we know. That was kind of an interesting little storyline that never came back to be. Like a lot of things that happened in this with both the foster mom and dad dying and The teacher dying. I would be curious if that would be part of the third movie.
Yeah, like we never saw the consequences. Yeah,
what are the consequences to this?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Because now I'm trying to understand why people didn't like it. And I'm like, okay, is it because there weren't consequences for certain actions? But like, so?
Yeah, I mean, again, guys, we're watching Child's Play 2. If you watch the first one, you know what you're getting into, and it's this type of a movie. And I thought that, like, the biggest thing we should be appreciative of is, like, the budget, the animatronics, and the practical effects.
Oh, bro, that's exactly when I opened my phone to look at the budget, and then I got so distracted
by it.
Yeah,
it's got to be way, way more. I mean, you could tell, like, in the first one, I can imagine that people are ripping it down where, like, this doll, and he might move a little weird, but I'm like, dude, for when the first one was made, it looked great. I still was questioning myself of how did they do that? And Jaeger's obviously how they did it with the animatronic. And we read about that in the first one. Wait, this one is like, what's the budget?
This is crazy. The first one's budget was $9 million.
Okay.
Which they made it look great for that. This one was $13 million.
Oh, that's it. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. That's like all... Honestly, that $4 million is all in that last location and the practical effects and maybe a bump up on the animatronic.
I would have guessed this was at least, I would have said 25.
Yeah, I agree.
They made that look really good. They did something smart, which is that they have, I know before I said they added some characters, but it still was like a very limited amount of characters. And they really utilize their sets well. Like that, this last one, they're like, okay, if we're going to put our money into it, we're going to stay there for 30 minutes.
Absolutely agreed. Because I, the second we got into that very last, the last warehouse, I was like, oh, I want to see more of this. There's no way they're just going to build all this and just keep us here for a second. And I'm so glad they didn't.
Yeah.
That they were there for a while.
So we had the house, we had the school, we had some outside streets, we had that. Like it was limited in locations, but they really made use of the ones that they paid for.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you're right. We really only had like four, and the outsides are shots that you could pull from the house was the outside location, and then the driving street was right outside of the school, I think.
Right. Oh yeah.
Which is like so minimal and smart, especially when you're trying to do like
on a budget.
That's not an indie budget, but a small budget.
Yeah, it's still pretty. This is why horror movies tend to do so well in the box office, bro, because you can make Child's Play 2 look like that for 13 mil.
Right. And you like, of course, people, even if you don't get a great rating, which I'm still like, you guys are in the wrong theater, you're still going to gain your money back, because I still think that this is a very shareable movie. And like, Yeah, you can just go have fun. You're like, these movies are made for people to go and be like, this is going to be fun.
It's like the director at the Oscars, I think it's the Anatomy of a Fall. No, American Fiction director.
Yeah.
Who was like, Hollywood, why don't you try making 10 movies for $10 million each? And it's like Child's Play was like, haha.
We did that.
Like we hit it first.
Yep.
Come on now. We made our $9 million movie and Taron Roxy at least loved it.
Yep. We did. I'm in it.
Why am I so bummed that this got bashed by people on Rotten Tomatoes?
Because it's a fun movie, and I think people should appreciate the movie for what it is.
Yeah.
And they're looking at the wrong things if you're saying it's bad. I'm like, yeah, I already made like that point earlier that I'm like, yeah, you're not in the right place. And it does make me sad because I do think that this movie, and especially the first one, but all of this to me is a classic. Now, where I'm like, oh, that's a classic. That should be in its own right. You're like, wow, that's such a classic. They did something that no one's ever done before. And this toy and this animatronic, like, that's insane.
In 1984 and in 1990. Like,
that's wild.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Damn.
It is a bummer.
I feel defeated.
I'm like 10 out of 10. I thought it's so much fun.
Let us know.
It's a fun movie.
In the comments, let us know. Do you think that the critics and audience were being way too harsh on this? Granted, the critics score for Child's Play, it had 15 reviews, which like
that's it.
Now you would think that critics would have
hundreds.
It
would be like hundreds.
So.
There's like okay, so that would lead us to if there were more reviews now. Which it's funny. Not they're not going to go back and probably review an old classic, but they should.
They should. And you guys, let us know. What do you think?
Yeah.
Are you with us? These movies are really good.
Yeah.
You like the first one better?
I don't.
You guys,
I like the special
too.
Effects in this one a lot more, and the practical effects, and the animatronic was awesome. There was something about like the first one that gave me, I don't know, different, more emotional feels possibly. Like I felt slightly more connected to it, but they're both really strong
me too,
to me. Like I want you guys to share this video so that we can get the views up so we can watch like all of them.
Is Child's Play 3 supposed to be good?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I'm not even going to look. I don't want anybody to taint my opinion.
Yeah, nope.
Not looking in advance.
We're not going to look. We just want you to share. Let us know what you think, but also
we'll look
give
at
us
that.
Some likes so we can watch. We're trying to do the whole Chucky vibe.
And the series.
We're trying to do it, man. We're trying to get to the TV show, you
we're
guys.
We're trying to chuck our way. We're trying to upchuck.
That was good.
So upchuck your thoughts onto the comments like
bar vomit, like that vomit, or like the weird oil that came down. Ring the bell, the oil that came down on Chucky.
Do you think we have outstayed our welcome?
People ask me that a lot.
Okay. Yep. Later, rejects.
Bye.
Ricky Martin.
Yo.
How many times have people called you that in your life, Ricardo Martinez? Because you're right there.
Vida Loca.
Yeah, waiting for Caramel Mocha or whatever the next line is. I just hope that you could one day maybe like cash in on that. You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
You know, come out of the woodwork, especially nowadays. You know, there's so many ways to get information out and to manipulate information.
Oh, you could,
you know, just like put out a little tweet somewhere into the ether saying that you are Ricky Martin's long lost brother, you know, or cousin or whatever it is. Bring your own fire mixtape of Latin jams.
One can hope.
And then you can slingshot yourself into at least like D or C grade celebrity based off of that. Do a bunch of reality TV shows.
Take advantage of the Latin community.
Do those like, do like a top 50, you know, of the decade. One of those shows that used to be on VH1. This could be a whole sort of kind of lucrative effort that you could,
100%.
You know, just put out into 100%. The ether. And then, hey, who knows? Maybe deep down Ricky Martin's super lonely and actually just wants somebody to confide in and to bounce his ideas off of. And that could be you. There's so many ways this could work out. And, you know, and if it doesn't, you can just go back to being Ricardo Martinez.
Oh, 1,000,000%.
Yeah. And then you could start fresh, you know, because that's a blank slate. You could do anything with that. And I'm glad that one of the things you have decided to do with it is to be here at the Patreon with us.
Rare fleet.
So, shake your bonbon and we'll catch you next month.